Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree. That's amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week, we're chatting about the brand new season of Love Island.
Is All Stars any good?
And we discuss Jada Wade's recent trip to London.
Plus, we talk about The Traitors,
Lil Nas X's new music video,
and the Coachella lineup.
Hello,
guys. Hello. We didn't know who should start, so we were like, let's do it together. And that was just so unco.
Because, I mean, if you did not know, I mean, obviously we've had episodes for the past 3 weeks. We wouldn't leave you thirsty, but this is the first time back together in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we need to get into we have a 3 week debrief to get onto.
Yeah.
Let me just get on mine out the way. Mine was boring. I've got nothing to update you on. Take me through your holiday.
Oh, what?
I want to hear about you. I had the same Christmas every year. And also we're in January now. Everyone's over. Need to do the whole, how was your Christmas? Yeah. Girl, we're like, come on.
Fair enough. Wait, can we just talk about your New Year's though?
Oh yeah. Okay. So I decided like 3 days before New Year's Eve that I was going to host.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, it was cute. And I think I'm going to do it every year now.
Yeah.
Touch wood, I'll be in like a nicer place this year and I'll have more time to prepare it. And I feel like it could just be like a nice thing, like a tradition year that it's like New Year's at mine. And it's like people can come for a bit, for the whole thing. If they're away, they'll always be next year. Like that kind of vibe.
Hosting is so much fun. I love hosting. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited to hear about your trip. Take me from start to end.
So I was in Ivory Coast first. It was amazing. It was so nice to see my family. I was only there for a week. Stayed with my dad. And yeah, it was really nice. It's funny because me and my dad actually weren't getting along like before. And I wasn't actually going to go to Ivory Coast. And then, I was just like, fuck it, like, let's just go anyways. And yeah, it was fine. Like, we have such a different relationship when we're out there. So it's really nice. And Christmas was really good. Well, to be fair, all my family came around like Christmas Eve. And then, I was like drinking the whole day. And then we went out with my cousin in the evening. And like, Ivorian music is just not my cup of tea.
What is it?
It's like, well, first of all, it's in French. So I don't know what the fuck they're saying. And second, it's like, it's a bit like soca music, like carnival soca music.
Right.
Like that's what I clocked, is that sort of beat, but it's in French and like, obviously an Ivorian version, but it's like that sort of like real fast beat. And like, you can't just, I don't want to stand in the club listen to like that music. Like, then on Christmas Day, like, it's weird because when you're out there, time is just like not even like a thing anyways. Like Christmas isn't a massive thing there. So like, it's not like you just feel like you're like, anyways, I was hungover as fuck on Christmas Day is what I was about to say. And like, I was just literally vomiting the whole day and it was horrible. So yeah.
What did you mainly drink?
I was mixing my drinks. Maybe that's why.
I was listening to the Receipts podcast on the way here because they're now back, which is Audrey and Holly. I really shouldn't get into it, but it's a mess what happened with that. But anyway,
okay. I know.
Like the way that that's all been handled.
I know.
Girl, anyway. But Tolly was saying she went to Lagos over Christmas and she said that there they did a tequila shot and their chaser is champagne. And I was like, wait, why does that kind of sound unreal? I was like, wait, that
cold glass of champagne.
Yeah.
After.
Because I was like, at first I was like, oh my God, chasing a shot with more alcohol. But then I was like, wait.
Wait a minute.
I was like, I figured out recently, I'm really I'm growing an expensive taste for alcohol, which obviously just comes with age. But like, I was at the pub the other day and I just got like a house bottle of white and I was like, I actually can't, not to sound like ridiculous, but I was like, I can't, like, this is gross.
And it reminds you of like the past days when you were younger and like used to drink that cheap, like especially rosé. I am such a snob when it comes to rosé. It's got to be a crisp, dry rosé. Otherwise, I'm getting thrown back to me being 14, drinking fucking Blossom Hill or whatever that crap is called. Like, it's horrible.
Anyways, so you were hungover Christmas Day?
Yeah, hungover Christmas Day. Anyways, and then I flew to Ghana from there. It literally takes 45 minutes on the plane. It was so good. good. I missed my flight.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, that was the first time I've ever missed a flight in my life. Very exciting and all the rest. Anyways, went out the next day. And yeah, like, Dirty December was amazing. It was so nice. Like, obviously, everyone speaks English there, so it was just, like, easier to, like, get around and stuff. I met some really amazing people, and the partying was good. The only thing is like, I feel like here it's a rule of like every DJ has to be very different sort of thing, and like they won't repeat the music, but like they're like one DJ will be on, then the next DJ will come on, and like it might be a different sort of music to begin with, but then they'll just start repeating all the songs and it's like, please.
Right.
So yeah, like the song, you will hear the same song a lot out there and it kind of gets annoying. But yeah, everything starts late as fuck. I love that system of like things starting at like 2 a.m. You go, you can have a good nap or whatever, because you can date drink, have a real good nap, and then like get back on it. yeah later on. But it's like, it's so funny because like brunches out there start at like 5 p.m. Like everything is so late. Like we partied until the only night we stayed out like mad long, we stayed out until like 8 a.m. And yeah, but yeah, no, it was really, really good.
What did you do on New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, we went to like a pool party. I kind of wanted to go. My friend invited me to like a house party, and I really wanted to go, but my boyfriend was like, no. But anyways, it's fine. Won't resent you for that. But yeah, no, it was good. I have figured though, I would much prefer like a house party over like a club
event.
Yeah. Unless I'm with a massive group of my friends and then we've got like a table or something. Like, it's just like, it's not intimate. Like, I don't know these fuckers around me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Not that I would know people at the house party, but like you can still have a chance to talk to them and get to know them. But yeah, go on.
Because I guess when you're like in an event, it's like, say you go with like 3 people and then it's like Happy New Year to 3 people, and then it's like you just move on to like a normal night out.
Right. It's just, yeah. So I think that's the last time, or I would go to like a party and then the club after.
Yeah,
that would be fun. But I would definitely go back to Ghana again. Like, it was great.
Lived up to the expectation.
Yeah, the people were really nice. I was really safe.
Did you see anyone you knew there?
Yeah, one of my friends, like, from, like, where I live, like, that I chill with, he was out there as well. So we spent loads of time with him. Couple of people that knew me from TikTok, which was cool as well.
Oh, nice.
But there was loads of London people out there.
Yeah,
like, we went to this one party and it was literally like being in South London. Like, it was jokes. But yeah.
Fun!
Woo!
How's your 2024 going?
2024, well, it's weird because celebrating away, I just feel like it's still 2023.
Right.
Like, nothing's like,
it's
wow,
not
really
like new year.
Do you know what I mean?
You're not in like a new year, new me.
And I'm not mad about it because, can I say it's been the smoothest start? No. So, what about you?
It's going good. I feel like last time we recorded, it wasn't at the stage of the year where you have your New Year's resolutions. But this year, I've decided, because usually on my New Year's resolutions, I do like, I want to be in this and work with this brand and be on that thing and do that. And I've realized that I keep setting resolutions of things which aren't in my control. Like, as much as like I can like put in the work to like do da 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 da. So this year I made all my resolutions just things that I can directly do myself.
Personal work,
like upload X amount of times a month on this, upload X amount of times on this a week, like,
and then
things like
opportunities
that
will flow.
Should flow that way. So I've refigured it out like that this time, and I've set cultural, because as we probably know if you listen to the podcast, my like taste level of media is not of the highest caliber. Like, it's a lot of reality TV.
Oh, right.
like the same singers that every year.
Trash TV sort of shit.
Like, I'm like, I'm 25 this year. I'd like to be. So I've set myself a task of watching 50 movies, whether that's like new releases, which people are talking about, or like film classics. I'm a bit more like.
So that's one movie a week, you know?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, I'm already 3 down.
Okay.
And we're two and a half weeks in.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. And 12 books.
Are we only 2.5 weeks in? I thought we were like a month in.
No. Yeah. And 12 books, and I'm already 1 book down.
Wow, that is really
so
good.
I'm pretty on track for that.
Yeah.
So
what book did you read?
I read a book called The Villa, which is by Ruth Kelly. It's basically kind of like a spin on Love Island, and it's like, it's basically about like a, like it, they don't say Love Island, but
just like replacing the trash TV for like trash books.
No, because it was like it was live streamed 24/7, and it's like a thriller murder kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
I finished it thinking like, oh, it was like good. Like I was like turning the page wanting to get to the end, but I was like a bit like eye rolling at some of the plot. Mm. But then I looked online and it had really, really good reviews. And I was like, oh, maybe my taste level is higher than the critics.
Yeah, no, because I find it hard with books because every book I've ever been suggested
so
in my
ridiculous.
Life. Yeah. So, it's just never, apart from, to be fair, I'm reading a book called Girls That Invest, which is just like, it's just really well written and it's like gets the job done sort of thing. Because it's literally like just facts, but written in a good way. So yeah, but I've never, wait, what's that called? Is that fiction or non-fiction? Because I always get confused.
I want to say fiction. Let me check.
Because fiction is not true, right?
I think fiction's factual. No, fiction's imaginary.
See?
Yeah.
And that doesn't make sense to me because non-fiction should be not true.
Yes, and fiction factual.
Right? Fuck, why do they do this to us? Seriously.
To me, I agree. No. Fiction's real. Non-fiction is like make-believe.
Yeah.
But it's the other way around. Have you got any New Year's resolutions that you've set?
No. Not really. I'm just cruising. I do kind of want to move out though. If that's a resolution or like
a
just
goal.
A goal. Yeah. I've decided. So that's what I'm currently looking at the moment, to be fair. I'm only moving down the road in Peckham though. I'm not even joking. It's literally like a 5-minute walk from my house or something on that as well. But yeah.
Anyway,
and sorry, I was going to say we watched Saltburn.
We were going to say we were like umming and ahhing about, oh, do we speak about this? It's kind of done now. And like, obviously we've not been recording, but I saw your opinion and I have contrasting opinions. So I wanted to discuss.
You
about
did
Saltburn.
Not think it was bad.
No, I didn't think it was bad. Okay. You say what you thought first. I watched your story. So.
Oh, I thought that it was like impeccable. I thought that like, the way that it was filmed was so good. And then especially afterwards, like there's that posh Asian girl on TikTok. Have you seen her?
Yeah.
And she's got a really nice engagement ring.
And her like engagement was something ridiculous. Like, yeah. They went all around Europe and halfway through and then the friends flew out. Yeah.
She done like a breakdown and like she just... broke it down like so well, but anyways, she was saying that like even like the way that it's filmed, it's like I don't know how, like the amount of screen that it takes up is like there like to make you feel uncomfortable, do you know what I mean? Because it's not like you want it to be all filled out, the whole screen, if that makes sense. But I don't know, there was like little bits to do with that I just thought were really good. I love like British things and I love like seeing how the other half live, but like the weird other half, not like the flashy other half, like the fucking strange ones like them. But yeah, I just thought like when I thought the movie was done, it just kept going.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I was like, fuck, like this is insane. Did you know though that you know the when he's fucking the grave?
Yeah, it was.
You know, yeah.
Improvised.
It's improvised.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Coming from him, no, it doesn't.
Okay. This is my review. I think it was a good film. I think there was a lot of plot holes or things which weren't explained full enough. Like, I'm sorry, the fact that Felix is Jacob Elordi's character. What was Barry Keoghan's character called? I can't remember, but Barry's character.
Was it Ollie?
Maybe. Let's just call him Barry's character.
Yeah.
The fact that he lied from the jump of that he was poor and all this before he even knew really who Felix was and knew that he was even had the chance to go to his, I don't know. And the whole relationship with him and that, I don't know, like, was it sexual repression? Was it that? I feel like a lot more could have gone into that. I don't know. I think that his character could have been fleshed out well. Shot beautifully. Acting was really good. Ending was a bit rushed and a bit... But it was overall a good film. Where my issue lies is, I don't know what, and I almost filmed a YouTube video about this, but then I didn't. I don't know what has like happened recently, but for some reason on TikTok, everyone now needs to have an extremely opinionated view on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that film, ended it, and was like, it was a good film. I could see some of the twists coming. I couldn't see them all. Shot nice. Some things were not. But overall, it was a pretty good film. Everyone on TikTok is either like, this is the most shocking, amazing thing, or they have to be like, anyone else think that this was the most boring? And I was just like, can't we just say this film's good? I was like, I've not seen a single person just gone like, yeah, it was pretty good.
Really?
I've just, everyone's either been like, one end or the other. And I'm just, and I've noticed that was like with Gypsy Rose Blanchard, like everyone has to have like,
oh my God,
like,
yeah.
Everyone has to have nowadays like, one extreme
like a real
view.
Deep dive.
Like my opinion on Gypsy Rose is like, well, just let her do what she wants to do. And like some people are like, going on and on and on about her. Other people are like, leave her alone. I'm like, well, she's clearly interested in it, so just let her do what she wants to do. And so, like, I don't understand what's happened. I think it's because of TikTok and like the fact that everybody wants to go viral now, so they feel like they have to
and
have the most ridiculous view.
Everyone wants an involvement in some sort of way, and everyone wants to have a voice, which is fair enough because I guess like that's what it's for. But it's like,
or people need to be like different from the crowd and stuff. It's like, no, we can just say that this is like good, or let her live, or like we don't need to have like some extreme opinionated. But I thought it was good.
I just feel like social media is like a hub for those people, though, if that makes sense. Like, there's going to be those people in the world, and that is like the platform.
And I definitely
where they
used to be that person as well. But I've figured out that recently I've matured because, do you know what? I've got really big personal beef at the moment. And this is going to slightly contradict what I've just said. Can we fucking stop doing 2024 trend prediction list from people who have no, like, who are just like saying what's on their Pinterest board? That's not a trend prediction.
Oh my God, no. People trend predicting stuff that is a trend.
I saw this one.
It's not
girl.
A prediction if you're looking at it already. Like, leopard print is not a fucking...
Who said three trends? One was loafers and Mary Janes.
Oh my
First
God.
Of all, people have been, that's been like an extreme trend for over a year now. And if anything, we're going for the opposite way from that. Her next trend was layered jewelry. That's not a
trend. It's jewelry.
And her final trend prediction was headwear. She said, I think we'll see hats, scarves, headbands. I'm like, you can't just say a general category of clothing that people wear like every time of the year and just say that's a trend. I was just like, you don't need to, you can title this video Things I'm Loving at the Moment.
Yeah.
You don't need to like,
say it's a trend.
I mean, it does kind of tie in what I'm just saying. People think that they need to be like the highest of, I'm predicting this, da da da. You can just say you like this. We don't need to, it's just getting on my nerves.
No, that's funny though. No, the leopard print one and like the red theme for me, I was like, like things that people have been doing for months, right. Months. So have you been sitting inside or what?
Love Island is back, and this time for an all-star season. It's just started. And have you seen that the head of Love Island, head of ITV, I don't know who the person is, has said that he wants to do an all-stars every winter.
Really?
Like this isn't going to be a one-off. Like, he wants every year for there to be like an all-stars.
And no more love.
So there'll be normal in summer and the winter version will always be like old contestants coming back.
Oh, okay. So instead of winter Love Island.
Yeah. Strange choice. But anyway, yeah.
But can you say that is a good idea or a bad idea?
Bad idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I'll get onto my opinions on all-stars in a sec. But let's give it the preface. If you haven't seen it, yeah, I mean, it says what it is on the tin, an all-stars version of Love Island. You have people like Liberty and Jake and Kaz from that 2021 season, and Toby. There's people from season one like Hannah and Lewis. There's people from our last season, Messy Mitch, Georgia Steele, Georgia Harrison, Chris Taylor. It's like B-list Islanders, I would describe them as. I would. None of them are like, other than... So you know how Adam Collard and Katie McDermott came back for individual, I don't think a single person on this series would be invited back to come in on their own. They're not. They're not Adam Collard, Katie McDermott, and even Adam and Katie aren't really at the level of like Maura, Molly, Amber.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you think Amber's up there?
Gil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I'd say she's in the top 10 most famous Love Islanders.
Oh, famous, yeah.
If I was to name the top 10, I'd say Molly, Maura, Tommy, Chris, Kem, Olivia, Alex, Chris and Kem, yeah. Olivia and Alex Bowen, Olivia Atwood, Amber Gill, maybe then like Ekansu or India is the 10th.
I'll say Dami and India.
I'd play Ekansu, maybe, I don't know. Different groups of people would find, but they would be like the 10th spot. Like, I'd say like they're like the people who are obviously never going to fucking come back. So a lot of people have had complaints so far saying that it's extremely mean that they've put in exes. So obviously Jake and Liberty are in, and Callum and Molly have just been announced to come in. A lot of people also saying
Callum and Molly. Oh,
they were in that winter season that no one really watched.
Oh yeah, she actually popped up on my thing today because she got like composite bonding. She popped up on my TikTok.
She's a gorgeous girl. Stunning. I'm like, I think this is absolutely ridiculous that people have a complaint about that. You are signing up to a show which is being cast of a pool that your ex in, your ex is in. And these people know that there is an extremely high likely chance their ex is going to turn up. This isn't like...
Do people know how good TV fucking works?
Right? This isn't like they've applied for like fucking like MasterChef and she's randomly... Like, it is a show about ex Love Islanders and there's only a small amount of pool. Like, you are going to have an assumption that, my ex is most likely going to pop up on this. So if I don't want to see her, I probably shouldn't do this show. Like, we're babying these people too fucking much. They know what they're signing up to. But saying that, Jake has already quit.
Did he say anything about that? Like, all I saw was that he quit because, like, they put him together with Liberty,
yeah,
right?
So the public voted. Obviously, that was going to always happen. I think
And that's the thing as well. You have to... If my ex comes in, this is what's probably going to happen.
Yeah. I think that the episode's not come out yet at the time of recording that he quits, and he quits on tonight's episode. From what I'm guessing is that he's kind of the butt of the joke, because obviously he was like everyone kind of like, and no offense, laughed at their relationship on their first season because it was so like one-sided and stuff. And he's kind of come on, like, everyone's kind of like, I feel like he knows he's at like the butt of everyone's joke and like the bottom of the pecking order.
What are people like bantering him in there?
I don't know if bantering's the right word, but people are kind of like, people keep bringing it up, being like, I don't know. And it's just like, there's obviously like a sort of like stain against him. I don't really know why he...
I don't see any of these people being together though, because all know who the fuck each other are, which is why I don't get it. Like, you already... So if you wanted to speak to someone, wouldn't you just fucking make moves on a real...
Yeah.
It's like, not like strangers are coming together.
These people have been when they come in, the bombshells come in, they're always like, hey, how are you? They're not like, hi, my name is blah, blah, blah. They're like, oh my God, you're here. Yeah. Like, they all have met each other at events and stuff. / half of them have DM'd each other. / one of them, Georgia and Toby, like Toby, Chloe's ex, and Georgia Steele, they've been, had a whole like situationship. And they've just rekindled it now on the show. Like, this is my... And I've written a whole...
Why are they giving them so many opportunities?
I've written a whole, like, what's it called? Substack, which is on my Twitter if you want to read it in more detail, about my issues with it, this current season of Love Island All Stars. My main number one issue is that this is not a show that needs an all-star spinoff. This is, there's a lot of spin-offs for other shows like Drag Race, but these queens, like, come back and have invested time and money into their skill, and it gives them another platform to showcase something that they've, like, improved on. We don't need to invite these people back for a second time. My second issue is that, what you said, they all know each other. They don't care. They missed a trick doing it in a Love Island format, in my honest opinion, because a lot of people will say no to this because it's cringe to go back and do the exact same thing again. It looks very desperate, in my opinion. I'm not saying all these people are desperate, but it does give a stench of desperation to go back on the exact same show like a year later.
Stench.
But like, if they were to do it in a Big Brother style format, or like a more game showy one where it's not about love, then you could have people come back who were in relationships, or people who maybe didn't want to come back because it was cringe to go back and do the same thing, but if it was a bit different. I just think they fumbled it really badly doing the exact same format as every other season.
That makes sense.
I don't...
Is it exactly the same?
Yeah, it's exact normal Love Island. And I personally think that doing this season with the names that they've got, again, no offense to the names, like, obviously you go chase the bag and whatever, I just think doing a season with the names they've got has made the show look more desperate than it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's like cheapened the show, because the viewers have dwindled a little bit, but like, it still gets ITV2's highest ratings, or last year's did. Ella Thomas is still like, she's got a million followers and a huge Pretty Little Thing. Like, it's still a very big cultural show here in the UK, probably the most talked about reality show every year. So doing this and doing like a series of people where it's like, I don't know, it just screams like we're about to be cancelled.
I'm just looking at the the couples right now. It just is not like looking like Mitch and Kaz. Yeah. What? It's not making sense.
And that Lewis guy.
Oh yeah, about the baby mums.
Yeah, so he has two baby mums, and he went on the show, and apparently, well, his first baby mum was Callie from Love Island from season one. And then the second baby mum, apparently he has no involvement in the second child's, or I don't know about the first child's, but I know for certain he has no involvement in his second child's life. Mm-hmm. And allegedly he left his third girlfriend, or I don't know third, but his current girlfriend, to go on Love Island.
There is always one.
But apparently he said to her, treat it like a movie.
That is the most light-skinned thing I've ever heard in my life.
And I'll be back, like, and like nothing that happened. People were like, why would Love Island cast her on the show? Like, okay, obviously there is a lot morally wrong with not being in your child's life. Like, I agree that if this
it's
is all
fucking illegal,
true, right? I agree if this is all true, he's a terrible, shitty person. But like, people are like, how did ITV not pick up on this?
What? Why? What is up with people? They're not normal. You're
being
not normal.
A bum baby daddy is not illegal.
Like, it's bad. It's terrible. But like, fuck. Like, man's not gonna get arrested. Not paying child support.
Like, it's not coming out on the CRB check. Bad baby daddy. Like, he could still go on reality television.
I can just imagine the person that was behind that screen typing that. Honestly, that is hilarious.
But God, I feel bad for the baby mum. Yeah. And she's made a lot of TikToks about, like, how it's... Fuck, I've actually... And I'm watching the new Geordie Shore.
Oh, there's a new one?
Yeah, it's like a family reunion. It's a fucking mess. So that's a whole different topic. Like, there's like arguments, but like Charlotte Crosby's boyfriend is making, or fiance maybe now, is making digs at Marnie's child, 3-year-old child, being
what?
Like, he's a fucking nightmare, like he needs to clean up. I'm like, why are 3-year-olds on reality television being digged? This is like not fucking normal. Anyway, that's a whole different situation. But I can't even remember what I was going to say now, but yeah, Love Island's back. I don't even know. I think that this is going to speed up the cancellation to Love Island rather than if this never happened, because it's cheapened the brand. It makes it look desperate. And I don't think that the people that they've pulled are going to create good television, especially because they didn't pick Zara from Winter Love Island. And God bless.
Which one's Zara?
She was the one who's like, I'm sitting on a bad boy piece of information.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't think you watched that season.
Wait, no, that was Lani that said that.
No, but she said it in the villa and everyone was like, I can't believe Lani Goods made it into the Love Island villa.
Oh, right.
I don't think you watched that season though.
No, I didn't.
But she was like a really big name and everybody was like, we need her back and stuff.
Was she on the Winter Love Island?
Season 9. And she got asked, but eventually they didn't pick her. And I think that was obviously a mistake.
Oh, that's a mixed race girl, isn't it? Yeah.
Because they've clearly gone for people on the more like notability and recognizable level rather than the entertainment level. And I'm like, right, that's like one thing to pull in viewers. But at the same time, the people who like have the smaller platform are obviously going to be more desperate to create better television to make an impact. So you're sacrificing a show which is completely based on these people's personalities. Why are we sacrificing the entertainment for like fucking like, I don't know, Chris Taylor?
Yeah. Is he doing the salmon into the pool? So
he's already been doing that. I'm sorry, those types.
Yeah,
those type of. Don't get me wrong. He seems like an absolutely lovely man. I'm sure he has a heart of gold. But that personality just makes me like so mean. But I don't know, like that whole like salmon in the pool, and like he's like. I don't know how to describe it. That sense of humor, like I describe it as Instagram real humor.
Yeah. Yes. I
very
know exactly
Sam
what you
Thompson.
Mean. Yes. I know exactly what you mean.
And there's another reality show going on right now, which a little show called The Traitors, which
it's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't
it's
it?
Completely shitting on Love Island. It's getting, I think it's up to like 5 million viewers now.
Really?
And Love Island's first episode.
Can you give us a breakdown?
Well, The Traitors, it's basically just Murder in the Dark. Like it's a cast of 20 people. I think 20, 3 people are chosen, in secret to be the killers. And every night they kill one of the people who are faithful, so not a traitor. And then throughout the day, they have to try and guess who the traitor is. And then they vote someone off at the end of the day who they think is the traitor.
And they beef on there as well, don't they?
Yeah, because like you get really involved in it. This season isn't as good as season 1. Mm. And I think the main issue for why it's not as good as the casting, I think they've casted it really, really badly because they've casted a lot of people who fit the same role. Mm. Whereas in the previous season, I felt like every single person in the cast was very individual and distinct. And this season, I feel like a lot of people sort of like group into that same sort of stereotype on reality TV. So it's like however, I will say the US version of The Traitors is fucking, it blows ours out the water.
Really?
Because the US version of The Traitors is purely people who've been on reality television before. And they have some of like the greatest names in US reality TV. They have Ekin-Su as well, and John Burko. I can't remember his surname. The guy from Parliament who was like order. Mm-hmm.
They have him on there. What the
so
fuck?
So him and Ekin are like the only UK people on there. But they have like some of like the biggest names in American reality television, like Sandra and Pavarotti, I think her name are, is, are like Survivor contestants who are like some of the best people to ever play Survivor. Dan Giesling and Janelle are some of the best people to play Big Brother. They have some of iconic housewives like Sheree.
Talking about housewives, did you see that clip from like the first days of Real Housewives of Cheshire?
Yes, oh, come on, you know who I am.
And he's like, no.
That show gets like 20K viewers.
Sorry,
and it's these people know what they know what they're giving because they're reality TV greats, and it just the show works a lot better, I think, when it's people who have done reality television before because they know what they need to give. But I just don't think that would work in the UK because for some reason the UK hates like competitiveness, especially on TV. Like on Love Island, people are always called out for being a game player and Big Brother. Like,
yeah, that's the whole point of what makes things fun. They're just like, they take the fun out of fucking everything here. They're fun suckers. Because as you said, like, actually, no, that sounds bad. No, because I was going to say, like, obviously, with a lot of the thing, when like Love Island is going and there's like messy stuff on the outside, like people are always like, how can this like, and shit happen and da da da. But like everything is at the end of the day, like as to entertainment of like, do you know what I mean? All the bad stuff.
But for some reason, as it was like some reason in the UK, like competitiveness is not a trait that we admire. We admire being humble and loyal and no, like I don't mind not winning, da 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 da. Whereas in America, these people know that like the best way is to be like, I want to fucking win and I'll step on anyone's neck to get there. Whereas if you say that in the UK, you'll turn into fucking like hate figure number one. so like if we were to do a fucking traitors with US people, we'd get like Joey Essex and like,
I wouldn't mind watching Joey Essex on TV though.
We get like Joey, I can't even think of, and like Chris and Kim, and it would just be the most boring show ever because it would just be like people trying to like be funny and shit.
You need the sassiness.
Yeah, which Americans do very well. So yeah, Love Island All Stars, Traitors are on. I'm going to try and watch both, but there's a lot of television on at the moment and it's hard to keep up. Anyway, we'll be taking a quick break right here, but we'll be right back after this to discuss Lil Nas's brand new music video and Jada Wade's recent trip to London.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree. That's amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everybody. So the UK's apparently favourite American influencer, Jada Wader, made a couple appearances around London this week. And people were mad about it. People were mad, I feel.
Well, let's do a timeline.
Yeah, let's do a timeline.
Because I feel like the press attention that her first thing got spiralled into like what happened following up, because I feel like if nobody was talking about that club night, she probably would have just come on holiday and gone home.
But it
was the club night that got everyone talking, which transpired into like the whole mess that we'll get onto
and the Chanel bag one and stuff like that. But anyways,
so she came to London.
What is the timeline really?
I think she came to London. I don't know about the Chanel bag, but as far as I'm aware, she came to London and she did a club night at Proud Cabaret, which Catherine and Ella Thomas from Love Island were.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why they were there. I mean, they just went for a club night. That's obviously why they were there. But like, I don't know how they were, because obviously Jada Wader has no idea who they are. I've checked that she didn't follow them, but for some reason they were at her table. I don't know how that works. Anyway.
I guess it's just like the promoters and stuff. Right. Yeah, right.
Because she probably was just like, fill my table up with some bad bitches or something.
Yeah, like, literally.
Anyway, so she did a club night at Proud Cabaret. And obviously in the UK, we don't really do... In America, the culture of club night, especially those big clubs in like Miami, Atlanta, they're like, they'll have rappers or reality TV stars doing like a night, hosting a night, but kind of, which is basically just them sat at the table. But it's like, I know rappers do it a lot and the girls from Baddies do it a lot.
And she does it a lot as well.
And that's not really a thing here in the UK. And that's why she did it at Proud Cabaret, because none of the Mayfair clubs were like interested.
Oh, yeah.
So she did.
Shame that, L.
Yeah. So she hosted a night at Proud Cabaret and like it was turned out. Like there were so many people there. It was crazy. And basically people were like, why is everyone turning up to like a meet and greet with an IG influencer? That's how it all started. And then people started talking on like Instagram, Twitter and TikTok being like, the UKs don't have celeb culture. Like, we don't worship celebs like this. I did see one girl's TikTok, which I was like, this is so fucking true. And she was like, I don't think it's that the UK doesn't have fan culture. It's that, it's specifically London. Everybody's like, it's London, we're all fucking equal. Like, for example, like if you saw Central C, you'd like find it funny and take the piss rather than be like, oh my God, it's Central C, because you just automatically view him as equal to you.
Yeah.
There's something about London where it's just like, oh shit, like you ain't that big. Unless it's like fucking like Margot Robbie. Mm-hmm. But like most like people, you're just like, oh, you're the same level as me.
And people, I just find Londoners are just like, we have this thing where we're just too stuck in our ways and too stush to like ever be called a beg. Like, being a beg in London, I feel like, is like the worst trait to have. So if people see people, quotations, begging it with like influencers or whatever, or like fangirling, then they just find it cringe. And people hate like the fact that influencers are like loved so much, I find here.
Yeah.
Which I don't see an issue with.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and the thing is I find it bad as well, because she is a businesswoman at the end of the day, and people always like whittle it down to like, who is she anyway? Like, you can't just be like, have all this money for no fucking reason. And her baby dad is little baby, but she already had her businesses before that. If that's helped, who fucking knows? But yeah, like, people love her for a fucking reason.
Also, like, okay, no, that's not quite the exact, but like, what's the difference between like that and Colleen Rooney? Like,
do you know what I mean?
Or like, I was going to say Victoria, but obviously that's different. She was in the Spice Girls. Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like, there's people who have become famous in the UK for being someone's
wife. Which is completely normal and it's completely fine. But yeah, I find it like, especially like younger, it's like, I feel like it's definitely in the black culture for like people to like not like the begging and stuff like that. But like, it's like tearing someone down for like their craft at the end of the day, and that's what they do. It's their job. You know? So can't fucking, and if people, yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's cool. And I think she's so hot.
Yeah. Has she rebranded? Because I've always known her as Jada Waiter, but now she's Jada Cheeves on everything. I'm assuming.
No, Jada Cheeves, like, that's her name.
But she's no longer calling herself, like, in all the interviews, it's like Jada Cheeves, not Jada Waiter. Yeah, like in all the YouTube titles. So she did the club night and it got everyone talking, which then spiraled into, oh, Jada Waiter's in London, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So then she started being pulled out in all the press stops. So she did like Kiss with, she did the ZZ Mills podcast, mm-hmm, and all the stuff.
I haven't listened to a single thing, by the way.
I've just seen like clips.
Yeah, I've just seen stuff.
And then apparently she was supposed to do a BBC interview. God knows. I'm assuming that BBC One Extra, she was just going to go on and like chat in for like 20 minutes.
Imagine her on BBC News 6 p.m.
That's the way that the screenshot read. She was like, are you ready for BBC? And I was like, what? What's happening with the BBC?
But basically it was like this, it was this PR woman, right? And she I didn't really understand, because the way that she wrote it all out was so fucking erratic. And it was like very just like impulsive, like writing, no punctuation. So I didn't really understand, but apparently she'd like got Jada in with like going with the radio.
Yeah, so all those interviews that we just named, this PR girl saw. I think what happened was this PR girl messaged her being like, hey, I'm in London, I work in PR. I could set you up with some like press interviews if you're interested. And Jada said yes. And she set up an interview with Henry and ZZ Mills and this BBC thing. I think that's what like it was. But I don't think she was quite as professional.
Yeah, she just started like baiting her, like all like, baiting her out after on Instagram and like talking like shit about her. Like I was sifting through those comments like yesterday, and she was like calling her a whore and like shit like that. But yeah, it was really, really strange. Like, the woman is not.
And it's now come out that she like wouldn't leave Jada alone.
Yeah.
Like, would so like follow her to the club, and Jada's been like, listen, like, you've done my PR, but like you don't get it. Like, you're my employee. Like, you don't come to the club with me.
It's just giving, you know, those like weird fan people, not that I've had this like, experience, but you know, there's just like strange people that message you and then you message them back and then they just will not leave you the fuck alone. And it's creepy and it's weird and you need to never do that.
Yeah.
Like, please. There's someone like, it's like a sense of not having any pride though, because if someone airs me, then I'm that's it done.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Like, yeah, I yeah, just yeah. You just take it as that, like, message fucking received. But anyways, yeah, she was just acting real crazy online and not letting her, like, just live, basically. And I feel like she's apparently, like, ruined her whole, like, London experience. That's what, like,
oh, yeah, that's what she... But I think the thing that I... So she was being like, you've ruined, like, my small boutique. And I'm like... But no one would have, like, you could have just left it.
Yeah.
You could have just taken the press opportunity from saying, look, I sorted out this Jada interview for Kiss and ZZ Mills. I could do this for other people and just run with what you got, because you're kind of lucky you even pulled that on. Your, what's that word? PR. I don't know what the correct word is. But your PR page has 200 followers. Like, you're lucky you pulled that.
Yeah.
Just
no
take
facts.
That promo and move
on. I know.
On.
And she's just completely, like, tarnished herself.
Right.
It was, it's so, it's really strange. If you do want to look at her, it's SRJ Music, by the way.
But you said that she deleted everything now.
Yeah, she, like, deleted everything off of her store, her, like, page and everything. Like, she was posting on her main feed, like, and making, like, videos, like, fucking, it was just really,
but Jade
really
is now, Jada commented on the Shade Verse post about it, being like, I fucking, and everyone's like, we've now just scared her off.
Yeah.
Like, cause she's going to
be. Yeah, because imagine, like, you come, people are cussing the fact that you, she had to make a video also saying, like, why is everyone being a fucking hate? Oh, no, maybe it's like, just on Snapchat, like, being a hater, like, I do what I do, like, and people like me, like, that's that. And now you've got this fucking crazy PR person that wouldn't leave her alone, and Jada's had to pay her like three grand to, like, pay her off to fucking leave her alone. So is Jada gonna come back to London? I fucking doubt it, because I wouldn't if I was her. That's what I'm saying, like, London's just full of haters. Like, they don't let people, like, live and, like, be happy.
The messiest part I just remembered, or the messiest part that what I personally thought was the messiest part, which I was living for, was that she was also screenshotting emails which included fees in, and, like, the fees for Jada. And first of all, so
I didn't see those.
So she got offered originally. So the main one that I saw was after the night at Proud Cabaret, Libertine asked her to host the club night on Sunday, on the Sunday, and offered her 5K, which she turned down, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the PR girl was like, no, this is, like, really good money. Like, celebrities just go to chill at this club anyway for free. Like, you're lucky that, like this is crazy that you're even getting offered this. And Jada was like, no.
This is what she does. Like, she's coming to London and basically setting that up. But now I know bare people are going to start doing that now. Like, these the club nights. Like, she's low-key the blueprint. And
because usually, like, so, Tape does it sometimes, actually, to be fair. But the Tape do, like, more like performers.
Yeah,
like, they, like, come out and sing some songs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
God, I haven't been...
Should I do one? Should we do one?
Pop off Naya Tape.
Or the box.
The box? The Coachella lineup's out, and it's mid, I would say. The headliners are Doja Cat, Lana Del Rey, and Tyler, the Creator. I'm assuming you're very excited about Doja. That's quite a you lineup, actually.
Yeah, I guess so, it is. I actually don't really mind the lineup. I don't, but as you said, it is like... no one's like... popping out at me. I feel like they used to be like, I guess Doja Cat for me is quite like of a legend, but like there's like, you know, like the Kanye West, like even like, you know, like with Wireless, it just doesn't like, I don't go to Wireless anymore, but it just doesn't hit. Like back in the day you used to get the Drake, Kanye West, like Jay-Z, like all that, the legendary people, but like now maybe these are the legends for the young people, but I don't know, like
I think what my issue, not issue with it, because I don't, I'm probably not going to be there, so it's not my fucking beef to have. I don't really fucking care who the lineup is. But what like screams out to me is the fact that, and I know Tyler, the Creator, and Lana Del Rey specifically, well, Doja Cat's been around since like 2014, and Tyler and Lana have been around for like a decade. I do know that, but like only Lana and Tyler specifically are only just coming to their sort of like icon, like being in the industry long enough to be like a titan. I wouldn't quite say that at that yet. Whereas usually they would have, you know, a Beyonce, or as you said, a Kanye, or a Drake, or like someone who's been like like someone who can drop something and it goes to number one with no promotion,
right? But the thing is with Lana, like, I don't get me wrong, I love Lana Del Rey's music, but she's just one of those people where it's just so, I just feel so indifferent about her performing, because I'm just like, you're just standing there.
I can imagine.
It's not a performance.
I can imagine at like something like Coachella, or that one that she did in Hyde Park, where the, like the sun was setting and the music, it would be really, really nice. But like any other, like if she was performing at the O2, I wouldn't be jumping at
yeah.
it. Like there's no vibes there. But I could actually imagine it would be quite nice at Coachella. Like,
yeah, I guess in the outdoor like and like in the desert. Scenic. And like, yeah, that would be pretty cool. It's very, Iggy Azalea should be there to be fair.
Why?
Don't know, just desert vibes in it.
Some of the other artists, there was Ice Spice. We've got some UK representation. Flo and Ray were going.
We've got Peggy Goo. Mm. We've got Tyler's there. We've got another. I was just talking about them. They're actually really sick. I went to like their first, they're like house DJs, but I went to their first festival in Amsterdam. What are people from Amsterdam called?
It's Netherlands.
Dutch. Yeah. They're like Dutch and yeah, they're really cool because they're like very into art. So like they do like installations and stuff like that. So their set would be pretty sick. But yeah. It's like a very like it's just very like a bit of everything. Like yeah. a bit of Peggy Goo, you've got the house, no you know, Afrobeats or anything representation there, but
I think I would be gutted if this was like my year to go. Because I would just love to go on, like, you know how people constantly talk about Beyonce's Coachella, like Beychella. I would just want to go on one of those years yeah. where it was like an artist, where it was like, and Dua Lipa turned it down.
Did she?
Yeah, she was asked. I think it was because of scheduling, but I think she was asked to headline and she said no. Which gives me, not hope, because I'm not going to that either, but gives me suspicion she'll headline Glastonbury.
Oh yeah, because it's all women as well, isn't it?
So I listened to a podcast with Emily Evers, who's the head of Glastonbury, and she said that she has one female locked in, because she says that sometimes there's never like a day that the Glastonbury lineup comes out because it constantly changes, like up until like the day of release.
Okay.
Because people like, because it's such an honor to do Glastonbury, people will be like, I'm trying to make this work so bad, so sometimes they'll hold out. And I listened to this podcast in October and she said that she had one female confirmed and she was just like days away from confirming a second female headliner who is an extremely big American artist.
So who do you think it is?
So a lot of people thought Taylor Swift, but Taylor Swift is on tour in Ireland on the days of Glastonbury, which kind of basically rules her out. So it leads me to believe that it will be, I thought Madonna.
Yeah, didn't we think someone like old school?
Yeah, so I thought Madonna, but I now think Rihanna. Because allegedly Rihanna was supposed to headline last year, but pulled out because she got pregnant. And word on the grapevine is she's doing a greatest hits tour this year.
If she is performing.
If Rihanna does Glastonbury, I will come high in hell water, find a way to fucking get that. I don't care if I have to buy a fake identity and a fake ticket and climb over a wall. I will be at Glastonbury if Rihanna is performing. I don't care if I have to pay like my fucking house deposit on a ticket. Because
that will be legendary.
And I believe in like my full heart as a humongous Rihanna fan, this will be her last, if she tours this year and does the festival circuit and all that stuff, this will be her last year of that and she won't perform again. Unless it's like a like maybe like a Las Vegas residency in like 10 years. But in terms of like seeing her like at like a festival like this, I don't think we'll see it again if she does it this year. So yeah, I'm excited for the Glastonbury lineup though, but yeah, I'm not even going, but I'm just so intrigued. I find that more interesting than the Coachella one.
Will you not go?
I would love to, but it's extremely hard to get tickets. And
did you go last year? No.
Year before. And then last year, someone called me on the Saturday morning being like, can you come? And I'm just like, no. What?
That is crazy.
That I said no.
Yeah.
No, but it was Saturday. So I would get there at like early Saturday afternoon and then probably leave on Monday morning.
Like, yeah.
And like a lot of people that I know were leaving on Sunday afternoon.
Oh.
So I would have like only, it would have been like a,
fuck, I would have wrote that out.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I should have, but.
Oh, well. This year.
This year I'm going to be there. Well,
maybe. You just said that you were. So Lil Nas X has a new music video and a new track called J. Christ. He portrays Noah from Noah's Ark and goes to heaven and hell. And he rejects Jesus. And everyone has something to say, of course, because he's literally taking the piss out of Christianity. So if you are a Christian, you would be upset about it, I assume. And yeah, I haven't actually listened to the song and nor have I watched the music video. I got through about 30 seconds of it. But I can just, as you said,
you can imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've seen the pictures and stuff like that, and I definitely understand why people are upset about it because it's religion at the end of the day. And yeah, Christianity definitely is the one that's always at the butt of like everything. Like, if you were to do that about Islam, like, oh, hell no.
You see, this is where I have a differing opinion.
Really?
But this is because, I don't know, maybe it's because I know I'm a big Little Nas fan.
Are you?
Not necessarily so much about his music, but I really, really like his creative vision and what he stands for, and the fact he's so loudly, unapologetically gay and is still like being able to have such mainstream success. I feel like we don't have many gay, well, any actually, maybe other than Lil Nas X, pop stars to his level and extreme.
I'm black as well.
Yeah. So I always, like, a lot of people were being like, we're bored of this, like, because obviously his previous single or his previous lead single was Montero, Call Me By Your Name, which was the whole, do you remember the devil going down the strip pole? And everybody was like, we're bored of this, like, move on to the next thing. But, and I'm not just saying it's Lil Nas X, I also think a lot of the time it's women, specifically in pop as well, are constantly expected to change up their sound. Or even female rappers get it all the time. Megan constantly gets being like, every song sounds the same, you need to change up your flow, like this and that. And in terms of like creative, like not creative, sorry, the visuals and imagery of like albums and stuff, people are always called out, specifically women and now obviously gay men, to like an extremely high standard. I'm just like, how many fucking male rappers drop the same sounding album and it still goes to number one? How many like Lewis Capaldis and Ed Sheeran do people fucking eat up and everything, every song sounds the exact same? But when it comes to like women and people like Lil Nas X, everyone's like, this is boring, change it up. It's like, first of all, if you find it boring, don't listen. Second of all, why should he change up? If he likes the sound of it, the imagery, the trolling that he does with it, like, why, if he likes it, why is he having to change it up? Anyway, what I was going to say was about the Christianity part. So he has grown up in a very Christian household. His dad was a pastor, and he had a lot of, he had a, as far as I'm aware, allegedly, like, as from the, like, from what I've read, he had a, like, a rough time growing up in a Christian household and being gay, and he had a lot of disrespect thrown towards him. So in that sense, I don't think it's, I think if you have experienced firsthand hate, I guess is the, I don't know what's the correct word to use here, but firsthand sort of discrimination from that specific community to you, I don't think, I don't think what he's done is that offensive.
Yeah, but I totally agree. But I'm just saying that, like, I can see why people are offended. Because if you're Christian, you're going to be offended. It's like if, like it's like with anything, if you abide by something and you believe in something, then you'd be offended if someone was taking the piss out of it.
Yeah, I do agree. But I don't agree with the stance that everyone's going, like, oh, why is it just Christianity? It's like, well, because that's what he's grown up in that household and faced a lot of hate from that. That's why it's Christianity. That's why.
I guess people just don't dare. I mean, I guess, I don't know why people don't do it against Islam, but no, I understand why he's done it. Like, I'm not Christian. I couldn't really give two shits, but like, I don't know. I don't really like,
you don't,
I just don't like, it's just,
I
like,
know, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I understand why people are offended, but at the same time, like, he can do what the fuck he wants at the same time. But yeah, I guess people just don't do it to Islam because there's no like Muslim people doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But like,
I also would think that, like, if he was to do it against any other religion, it would be completely unacceptable because you've not experienced that community. You're not a part of that community. You've never been a part of that community for you to then take the piss and disrespect it. Whereas he's grown up in a Christian household and experienced all like horrible things towards him.
I could tell though that, like, I didn't know that for a fact, but I knew that the reasons why he had most likely done it was because of something like that. Like, it would make sense
for
him
to
do that. People aren't just going to go around like cussing religion for like no fucking reason. But that's why, like, that's why at the same time I'm like, people are dumb because there obviously would be a meaning behind it. It's not just people doing it for no reason.
Yeah.
Him doing it for no reason, sorry.
But it's just, as I said at the top of the episode, it's just people needing an extreme opinion because this isn't a new thing, people using Antichrist. And like Doja Cat literally did it how long ago? The whole demon stuff, like 6 months ago.
Yeah, and people hated it.
Yeah, and people, like people just love to have a strong opinion and create, well, I'm not saying create an issue out of nothing because obviously it is people being disrespected, but I think that people are giving Lil Nas a harder time than people gave Doja Cat. And
Do you think?
Yeah, because I think a lot of the Doja Cat hate was actually coming towards...
Maybe because, like, he's gay as well, though.
Yeah, I think it's more that specifically. So
because it's just her as a woman, but then, like, if you're, like, gay, it's, like, it's mega anti-Christ.
Yeah, so I think that's also why he's getting it on the back end a lot more than maybe...
Because you're going to get the homophobes as well.
Or Lady Gaga did it, or Madonna did it. Like, he's not doing anything new or revolutionary, like, creating visuals around anti-Christ stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is he, like, starting a movement? Like, is he...
So this is what... I don't really know what is going on. Because he's obviously, like, a professional troll, which is what I actually really like about him. I think it's really fun for a pop star to do that whole sort of...
You don't find it fun when Doja Cat does it?
Yeah, because Doja Cat was actually mean to her fans, like people who pay her bills. That's not trolling, that's just cyberbullying.
No, that's just trolling.
The line where Doja Cat crossed the line for me was when she started, like, making digs at her fans. I'll never get behind someone biting the hand that fed them. I just think it's really rude and disrespectful, and I don't think you really deserve it if you're gonna tell people to fuck off as you sit in a mansion that these people have paid for. Personally,
I didn't get offended by it though, and I pay her bills.
Oh, that's good for you. But Lil Nas does it in a way to, like, it's a very Gen Z sort of humor, internet humor kind of thing, and I think it's quite fun to play into it because, like, a lot, I think he does what a lot of people wish that they could do with their, like, TikTok stuff. But yeah, that's everything that's been happening. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Pop Off. If people want to find you, Isla, where can they find you?
You can find me on TikTok at Isla and Instagram at Isla Lobar.
And you can find me on YouTube, Instagram and TikTok at Looking for Lewis. You can also follow the Pop Off account on Instagram and TikTok at Pop Off Podcast. Let us know your thoughts on Love Island All Stars. Do you care at all? And what did you think about Jada Wader's trip to London? Make sure you subscribe and rate the show 5 stars. The production team is Katie Baxter and Temi Adebayo. And we will see you next week for a brand new episode.
Adios.
Bye.
Pop Off is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree. That's amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know? With Seresto, you can fit and forget about your pet's flea and tick treatment for the next 7 to 8 months in just one application. Seresto Flea and Tick Control Collar provides long-lasting, clinically proven flea and tick protection for both cats and dogs. So you can say goodbye to monthly applications and hello to long-lasting protection. Simply fit and forget about fleas and ticks with Seresto from now until October. Find out more at seresto.co.uk and to find your local store.